I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske, and this is Up to Date. If you've been in certain grocery stores recently, chances are you've seen some numbers right next to the price of an item of food. It's a NUVAL, a nutritional value placed on each and every food product. Today we learn that there's more to grocery shopping these days because of nutritional ratings, scoring systems, on-label claims, and even in-store dietitians. But do consumers purchase healthier food as a result of all this extra information? Today we talk with the general manager of the NUVAL program and also the founder of a smartphone app that allows you to scan a barcode and learn more about a particular product's nutrition. We also talk to you to see if these labels and technology are changing how you eat. Nutrition Check on aisle 5. It's Up to Date after this hour's news. Good morning and welcome to Up to Date. Steve Kraske is away. I'm Brian Ellison. We're only a couple of weeks into the new year, and no doubt many of our New Year's resolutions have already gone by the wayside, but healthy eating, to judge from news reports and grocery store displays, enjoys year-round popularity. Everyone wants to believe that by choosing this and not that, eating a bit more of these or drinking a few less of those, the pounds will come off and the lifespan will lengthen. But is it so simple as that? There's a movement empowered by the information age that is making it easier than ever for consumers to know, even before they buy that bag of chips or bottle of soda, just how nutritious or dangerous it will be. But what do those scores really mean? Who decides what makes the grade, and on what basis? And are a few numbers or letters a real substitute for a well-planned, well-balanced approach to good health? Today we have Harvest Public Media reporter Jessica Najunas joining us. She's the host of the network's weekly podcast, Field Notes, and she joins us from KBIA in Columbia. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
We also should note we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you've been using the NUVAL numbers at your local Hy-Vee or a smartphone app that rates your potential purchases, let us know on the KCUR Facebook page or email us at uptodate@kcur.org. You can also tweet at KCUR Up to Date. Let us know what you think. Jessica, maybe some of our listeners have no idea what we're talking about here. Is nutritional scoring the future of healthy eating?
You know, it really depends, Brian. Nutrition assistance in the store might be just another way to shop. Once you get the food home, it's a totally different story.
Right.
For instance, those high-scoring apples or greens or cuts of salmon that you purchased might also, you know, need to also land on your dinner plate. You know,
right.
You can't just buy them. And if you're like most people, if you're like me, I'd say that healthy-sounding diet will also be supplemented by a few snacks, some chips, cookies, too. So the companies that develop and implement nutritional scoring and labeling might posit themselves perhaps as the next wave of smart eating. Who knows? But there are a few more steps, I think, involved in creating a healthy diet than just playing by the numbers.
All right. Well, let's talk about those numbers. For those who haven't seen them, what are they? What are these scoring systems that are out there?
Okay. So the one I looked at the most is NUVAL. And NUVAL is a scoring system, and you can find this system on the price point railing where the prices are in the store.
Is it even on the same tag with the prices? Is that?
It's not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a separate tag right next to the price.
Okay.
And it's a scale from 1 to 100, and I think it's based on a secret algorithm developed by a Yale scientist. His name is Dr. David L. Katz. And the company says it's not influenced by the heavy-handed food industry. So it's basically a system that tells you what's healthy and what isn't and what to eat more of and what to eat less of.
So NUVAL, that's N-U-V-A-L, is in use at Hy-Vee stores locally here in the Kansas City area. Are there other systems out there like this, Jessica?
Yeah, Brian, you'd be surprised. It seems like every grocery store chain has their own system instructing healthy purchases. So just to name a few, Guiding Stars, it uses a more streamlined system of 1, 2, or 3 stars, and that was developed over at Harvard. They also have an iPhone app. This is something that NUVAL does not have as of yet. And I think they recently released their secret algorithm, too. That's something that NUVAL has not done, making it a little bit more transparent. And you can find that information on their website. And I don't think that Guiding Star is in the is in the Kansas City area. They're mostly at the Sweet Bay supermarkets and the Hannaford supermarkets.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Nouvel, since that's the one that's around here. And you recently, your podcast that you host at harvestpublicmedia.org, had a feature about these systems. We're going to listen in now to some of your conversation with one of your colleagues over there at KBIA, who you describe as someone who generally doesn't pay much attention to the healthiness of what he's buying at the store, right?
Yeah, that's right. He owns a deep fryer at home, and he's very proud of it. And he pays much more attention to the price of a food product than the nutrition score or the contents on the label. And in this podcast, I really wanted to find someone who doesn't just poo-poo nutrition ratings because they're a health food snob. I wanted to find someone who pretty much says that health food is silly in general.
All right. Well, then let's meet Scott.
Okay, say hi, Scott fam.
Hi, Scott fam.
Bam is standing outside on a windy and unusually warm day in Columbia, Missouri. We're at the West Broadway Hy-Vee, and the scrap of paper in his hand is blowing around in the breeze.
It's got just a lot of basics on it, like oil, vinegar, rice, cheese, vegetables, and I also think about making a soup, so I'm going to get some stuff to make stock and some beans and make a bean soup.
Now, when Fam goes to the grocery store, he considers price much more than nutrition. He says he generally shops in the healthy perimeter of the store and then ventures inside for ice cream and beer. On this trip, I'm going to ask him to take nutrition into account with a little help from some numbers.
Welcome to Nouvel. Welcome to the power of simplicity in a complicated world.
Hy-Vee stores have licensed this thing called the Nouvel scoring system. It's based on a secret algorithm developed by Yale scientists, and it's not influenced by the food industry. It's been around since 2007.
Nouvel is the nutritional value scoring system that helps consumers finally understand how much nutrition they're getting or not getting from the food they buy. As troubling public health trends such as obesity and diabetes reach epidemic proportions, consumers know they need to eat better. But they're overwhelmed and confused by the whirlwind of nutrition information and claims that surround them.
So Nouvel decided to add more to that whirlwind with their own information. And like in the audio you just heard, their idea is really that simple. In 32 grocery store chains across the country, Nouvel's little polygonal symbol adorns store shelf price tags, bearing a number from 1 to 100, and it's supposed to let you know how good that block of cheese or fruit drink really is. Here's Senior Director of Nutrition at Nouvel, Annette Maggi.
If you have soup on your grocery shopping list, you may not have decided what brand you're going to buy or what flavor you're going to buy, and you can choose in part based on nutrition at the point of purchase. I don't know current data off the top of my head, Jessica, but it's still a fairly high percentage of people who are making final decisions about the products to buy at the point of purchase, and that's the reason we've really gone to the retail shelf as the first location for Nouvel implementation.
Yeah, but can a health score sway a skeptic like our shopper Scott Pham?
I think it's silly. I think it's a lot of, I think it's people kind of obsessing over numbers when they should be thinking about their food more. I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty healthy, and I don't think about my food that much, and I can't imagine some kind of weird number system improving that too much.
So people obsessing over numbers, that was Scott Pham speaking with Jessica Najunas, who's our guest today on Up to Date here on KCUR. Jessica, how long has Hy-Vee been using these numbers on their shelves?
Well, the system has been in circulation for about 4 years, and I think Hy-Vee came on board soon after that, and they've licensed the system in their stores. And if you go into a Hy-Vee, those shopping locations are outfitted with Nouvel paraphernalia, like hanging signs and store appliques. So the store is pretty ready to show people what the Nouvel system means and how they can use it.
Okay, well, let's find out more from someone who ought to know, the general manager of Nouvel. Mike Nugent joins us from Chicago. Mike, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's sure nice to have you. Now, I know it's a secret algorithm, but can you give us just in general how this works? What gets added together, mixed up, multiplied to come up with this number from 1 to 100?
Well, I think we ought to address the issue of calling it secretive. The company's intellectual property lies with the algorithm. The ability to protect that intellectual property is very limited other than through patents. And as you found, Guiding Stars released theirs when their patent was granted. I anticipate we would release ours at the same time.
I see.
Releasing it earlier than that, you just can't protect the company.
Sure, sure. What kinds of information is going into making this calculation? I'm sure that's not so secret.
there's some 30 nutrients that go into it, everywhere from fiber to vitamin D, calcium. Many of them are listed on the website. It also takes into account more than that, though. It's not only what vitamins or minerals are important, but they vary based on the amount that are under-consumed today. So fiber has a higher weighting than, say, iron. Something like vitamin D has a higher rating than vitamin B6 and vitamin B12. But along with that, you also want to make sure that you take into something called energy density, which is the amount or sort of the difference between consuming a sugar packet or consuming a sugar packet in a gallon of water.
Right.
Because when you consume the gallon of water, you're going to have a tough time eating any more calories after that. So those two things are different.
Right. Or if you may get a salmon fillet with a very high ranking, but if you eat seven of them as your dinner, that's still not going to be healthy.
Right. It'd be a tough time. If we have that problem, we can come back and deal with it. But from a nutrient standpoint, so those are some of the major ones that we take into account. And nutrients, fiber, vitamin D, shortfall nutrients as identified in the USDA dietary guidelines. We take into account the energy density, and the real thing that our system is based on is what you would call nutrient density, which is the difference between consuming 50% of your vitamin A in 100 calories versus consuming 50% of your vitamin A in, say, 400 calories. Because those two consumptions are very different when you talk about the perspective of obesity in the United States.
So Mike, the information you're talking about, number of calories, percentage of recommended daily allowance of vitamins, that's all information that's already available on labels. Is what you're doing just taking the information that's already available and essentially crunching it into a number that's a little more consumer-friendly?
I would say that's a really good assessment, and you're correct. Those data are available on a label. But a consumer has a tough time when you have, you know, saturated fat and sodium and some positive vitamins, and they vary across a set of products. So is it okay to trade out fiber for more saturated fat, or should you go a different direction? If the sodium goes up but there's higher vitamin C, is that a good trade-off? And what our system does is although we talk about David Katz as being a principal inventor, he assembled a team of 12 experts, past president of the American Dietetic Association, person that worked for the American Heart Association, and basically said, if I were to take these 13 people along with you in a grocery store and you were to hold up a product and ask them, hey, what do you think on 1 to 100? How are we doing nutritionally? This group would respond.
I see.
That's a 21, that's a 1, that's a 91.
So I guess my question, though, is you know, one of the benefits of having the full label is that different people are looking for different things in their diet. Someone may need to be low sodium, someone else may be looking to reduce fats. Since different people have different nutritional needs, how can the same system really be beneficial to everyone?
Well, the example that we like to use is a diabetic. A diabetic has specific carbohydrate needs. But within the varying choices that they have of lower carbohydrate products, the nutrition still is different. So our scores, if you identify your low carbohydrate products, you can still use our score to make the most nutritious choice among that. The same thing with low sodium. If you're looking for a low sodium food, you don't want to just be looking for a low sodium food and trade off and consume massive amounts of saturated fat. So among your low sodium choices, you can still use the number and say, of these, which one continues to still have the best nutrition?
Sure. I'm going to invite our listeners to join the conversation. Do you use the NuVal numbers at your local Hy-Vee? Does it help you? Have you changed your behavior because of it? Or are you skeptical that this makes a difference? Call us at 816-235-2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at Facebook email us at uptodate@kcur.org or Facebook us at the KCUR Facebook page. Mike Nugent of NuVal, stay with us here. But Jessica, let me just ask you, you've done some research. Are there criticisms of this system? What are some of those criticisms?
Sure, Brian. I mean, I think it runs the gamut. And before I go on, I'd like to say that I chose Nouvelle because that's just the scoring system my local supermarkets use. And my decision to zero in on Nouvelle was really based on that availability.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you get the Scott Pham types who don't really care and probably will never be swayed by any sort of nutritional assistance in a store. But then you have people like Dana Havens, and she's a woman I ran into in Hy-Vee one day. And she's actually lost 10 pounds using the scoring system.
Wow.
However, you know, there are some very outspoken critics of the scoring system, like New York University professor Marion Nestle. And she says that she totally disagrees with the use of scoring systems on label packaging. And she calls them misleading and not very educational. And in a conversation with her, she makes sure to note that Nouvelle is not the worst in her mind, however.
Mm-hmm.
I'd categorize her as more of an extremist when it comes to food. She wants more fresh food, much less packaged food, and zero on package labeling. And then I met another woman named Beth Bader from Kansas City. And after her shopping trip using the Nouvelle system, she told me that she came away with this idea, that people should view the ingredient list first, not the score alone, and ask yourself, is this food? What's in my cart? Is this food? Should I be buying it in the first place before
sort of
putting it?
The Michael Pollan sort of question, would my grandmother recognize
right.
it as food?
Exactly.
Those observations are interesting because we talked about it with the scientific expert panel that developed this, and we didn't think you could go to the marketplace and suddenly transition everyone to fruits and vegetables. And even during a conference call or a meeting that we had with some of the manufacturer R&D groups, one of their female scientists said, you know, she wasn't so quick to get away from some of the frozen foods because she felt that that speed of preparation is what allowed her to enter the workforce and sustain herself in the marketplace. We don't think that, you know, a year from now using the Nouvelle system you're going to have everybody buying pineapple and blueberries. We think within the middle of the store there are very different and very good choices that you can trade up to. Pasta sauce is a great example. There are pasta sauces with 2 or 3 grams of sugar in them and 400 milligrams of sodium. And then there are pasta sauces that are no sodium added, no sugar added, that will score significantly higher. And we look for those choices in the middle of the store when you're shopping every day, and how do you choose up on a regular basis?
Well, okay, so Brenda, one of our listeners, emails us, and she says, I find it very helpful. I don't think it's a number jumble. She says, it helps me the most not when I'm deciding what food to buy, but when I'm picking between brands. So, for example, I know I want to purchase oatmeal, and there are tons of choices. I use the Nouvelle scale to pick the best one for my buck, which is sort of what you're saying, Mike. You're not talking about using it to compare oatmeal to apples. You're talking about using it to choose among the different brands that will have very different nutritional contents.
Correct. We get a lot of people's perspective that say, you know, are you saying this is the same nutrition as this other product in a completely unrelated part of the store? And we don't market that way. We talk about if you have an occasion where you want to have cookies, there's protein content that varies. There's fiber content that varies in cookies. There are cookies that are better choices than others.
Okay. Well, let's take a question from one of our listeners that I think is related sure. to this then. So Ricky in Kansas City, Missouri, welcome to Up to Date.
Thank you. I was calling. I don't know if it's an issue about how the Nouvelle system gets executed at the store level or what, but I have noticed products that seem to have identical nutrition information on them will have different Nouvelle scores.
Hmm.
Like one will be a store brand and one will be a name brand. But if you look at the labels, the ingredients are identical, the nutrition information is identical, but the scores are different.
Do you notice that one of those generally has a higher score, the store brand or the name brand? Not necessarily.
I think if I were to say that, I think I noticed the store brand tends to be higher, but I'm not sure. I haven't
okay.
paid attention.
Interesting. I appreciate your call, Ricky. Mike, is that a one-off, or is there truth to that, that the numbers sometimes don't seem to make sense?
No, there should be consistency across those if indeed the nutrition panels and the ingredient statements are exactly the same. Including serving size and whatnot. And honestly, if you guys can give me Ricky's information, we'll investigate to see what might be occurring. We have seen situations where nutrition fact panels are the same, But the choices of oil, which is going to drive the omega-3 content, can cause products to score differently.
And to be fair, that not all of the ingredient information is on the labels. The ingredients contained are there, but not necessarily the amount of each ingredient, right?
That's correct. But generally, if the ingredient amounts vary, you would find there's some difference in the nutrition facts panel.
Okay.
But when we talk about having identical ingredients, I mean, they have to absolutely be identical.
Right.
I mean, almost the same wording. We tend not to find that. What we tend to find is that there are things like omega-3 in the oils where one person has used a canola oil and someone else has used a lesser omega-rich oil that will drive a score difference.
Okay.
And
Ricky, just to say, Ricky, if you want to stick around, our producer will get your information off the air so we can share it with Mike Nugent. Thanks for your call, Ricky.
Thank you.
Let me just ask Mike, just to clarify, is Nuval affiliated in any way with any food manufacturers or any grocery store chains? I mean, is any portion of your business dependent on relationships with particular food-related companies?
It is not dependent on relationships with manufacturers. Our licensing fees come from retailers. But the key separation that we talk about is, you know, if Mike Nugent has a particular view about how much fiber should affect the score, Mike Nugent doesn't get a single vote.
It's all the scientists in
it's all the scientists. Yes.
Right. Why are some products rated and not others? So if I go to the oatmeal section, I will find many oatmeals that have a rating, but many that don't.
The difficulty you have is if you look at the number of UPCs that sort of one of the sales companies reports on, IRI, for instance, that reports for the industry, there are close to 980,000 UPCs that are in play, but a single store is only going to have about 40,000. So to try to score all 980,000 is going to be extremely difficult to accomplish. Even in Hy-Vee, there are probably 40 or 50,000 products that are unique across various stores where one group of stores may have it and another one may not. What we have tried to do is we have, when you get into a relationship with us, is we score the highest volume national brand products. We score the store's branded products, and then the store can choose up to 1,000 products that they'd like to have scored.
Jessica,
but the logistics of just trying to score every single item in every single store, I mean, it would be overwhelming.
Right. Jessica, in your research on this, how many people do you think are actually using these numbers? I mean, when you're talking to folks in the grocery stores, do people know they're there? Is it a big part of their shopping decisions?
You know, I've spoken with about 6 different shoppers from different backgrounds, so my research is very limited to what I've heard from this small sample group. But in general, I'd say they all have similar complaints, and the big one kind of goes something like this. They say, I have a difficult time eating healthy foods in the first place, and the Nuval score just confuses me even more. For instance, you're not supposed to compare scores across departments, so no cereal to tomato comparisons, but that, according to my shoppers, is not entirely clear when you're shopping in the store. I would say, number 2, there's something to be said about giving shoppers the why behind the numbers. So why does salmon score an 87? I think that, you know, arming yourself with information about healthy eating ensures a continuation of that healthy eating. For instance, in the podcast episode that we heard earlier in the show with Scott Pham, the butcher counter is kind of where he had the most confusion. He was looking for chicken, and the generic chicken did not have a Nuval score, but the generic salmon, which scored a great 87, did. And salmon, of course, we know is very healthy, and that's why it gets that high score. And Pham ventured to suspect Hy-Vee wants to sell that high-priced salmon, and the high score might help it out a little bit. However, the lower-priced chicken that he saw didn't have a Nuval score, and maybe it's not such a hot item. And it might not hurt, and it might hurt sales if it did have that lower item. And that's what Scott Pham believes. So, you know, we're not saying this scoring system is a conspiracy to sell more items. But when shoppers come up with these questions in the store, I would say that's something to listen to, right?
Yeah, Mike. Any merit to those concerns?
I think consumer awareness is always going to be a challenge for anybody that's trying to push nutrition, especially given the marketing messages that are out there today. Specifically to can you score salmon and not chicken, from a licensing agreement standpoint, you would be violating the license agreement. It's possible you know, it's hard to know off the top of my head if the chicken didn't have a score on there, or if you didn't see it, or if it wasn't in some other way being provided. But from a Nouvel position, you can't pick and choose. You score everything, and if they haven't scored everything, it would be something we'd want to look at. As far as the overall confusion, and I think the one point you talked about was why. We've actually found some preliminary research that said a certain age group very much wants to know why things score the way they do. And I think that what we're looking at in 2012 is we really step up our consumer research is we're toying with the idea that if you really want to know that, scan the barcode and it'll tell you why. In this category for this food, maybe it's higher in fiber, maybe it has less saturated fat and things like that. And we are looking at that. We've heard that, and I think it's something that we want to help consumers with. There is another group of consumers, they don't care. They are too fast-paced, they don't have the time, they've got their kids with them. They need to just go shop, and they need to pick out the most nutritious foods, tell me which one it is. And some of them have even joked, you know, if you just load up my basket on the way out the store, I'd be happy with that.
That's Mike Nugent. He's the general manager of Nouvel, a nutritional scoring system that's in use locally here at Hy-Vee grocery stores and in other grocery stores around the country. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We'll continue our conversation about nutritional scoring systems with Harvest Public Media's Jessica Najunas after our break. We'll also look at another scoring system. This one, the score doesn't appear on the shelf. It appears on your smartphone when you scan the product with your camera. We'll also continue to take your calls and your questions about the numbers of nutrition and what impact it has on your shopping and your eating. You can call us at 816-235-2888. Or you can email us at uptodate@kcur.org. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske. You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And welcome back to Up to Date. I'm Brian Ellison, in for Steve Kraske. If you missed yesterday's conversation about modern manners, may we kindly suggest that you listen to it or any of our previous broadcasts at kcur.org. Please, thank you. And tomorrow, a former health insurance company executive argues that health insurers make promises they have no intention of keeping, flout regulations designed to protect consumers, and skew political debate with multi-billion dollar PR campaigns to mislead the press and the public. That's tomorrow on Up to Date. Today we're talking about nutrition and specifically nutritional scoring systems, numbers and grades assigned to food that affect, hopefully or intentionally, how consumers buy and how they eat. We're talking with Jessica Najunas. She's a reporter for Harvest Public Media and host of their weekly podcast, Field Notes. She's joining us from KBIA in Columbia, Missouri. And we're joined now by by our guest Hemi Weingarten, the founder and CEO of Fooducate, which is a website, blog, and a smartphone app that consumers can use to get products scanned right there in the store to learn about their nutritional value. Hemi, you're joining us from San Francisco. Welcome to Up to Date.
Hey, how's it going?
It's nice to have you here. So tell us about Fooducate and how it was born.
Okay, it's actually a funny or sad story. I am a father of three young children, and a few years ago, my wife brought home a glow-in-the-dark yogurt for the kids. And it was the first time in my life that I read an ingredient list. I was just really curious as to why strawberry yogurt would be that bright. And I discovered that there is an ingredient called Red Number 40. I knew nothing about it, so I Googled it, and I was shocked that it's a potential carcinogen. It causes hyperactivity in some kids, and Europe is banning it. And I asked myself and my wife, why would anybody want to put this in the yogurt that's supposed to be healthy for my children? This led to a long research project that ended up with a blog called Fooducate, whose goal was to really help parents like me figure out something really simple, what to put on the table at home. And the iPhone and Android app came about a year or a year and a half later. So we launched them in January of 2011, exactly 12 months ago. And our goal is just to help people make better, smarter, and healthier choices And if technology is a tool, then great.
How many people are using the app?
We announced a few months ago that we crossed over 1 million downloads. We have to update that already now. We don't usually disclose the numbers, but our latest press release from November mentioned 1 million downloads and over 10 million product scans by our users.
Wow. Now, how many products are actually in the database? I did sort of a random sampling myself this morning, and almost everything was in there that I tried. How many do you have?
We have well over 200,000 products, but the database is growing daily. If you scanned a product that we didn't have in our database, you may have noticed a little pop-up saying, help us out. This help us out pop-up really asks the users to take 3 pictures of the product, the front of the pack, the nutrition label, and the ingredient list. And then we have a team of people that key in the data. So we actually have a user-generated product database that grows and is very current, because anytime a new product comes out, we immediately see lots of scans for it, and we see contributions from some of our users. We've gotten over 250,000 email submissions from our users so far.
Wow. Jessica Najunas of Harvest Public Media, you reported on Fujicate as well as other nutritional scoring systems, and have talked with consumers and done some research. What have you found out about who's using this and how they're using it?
Definitely I found out that Fujicate, you can use that at home. You can't really use Nouvelle as easily at home. So you can scan things that are already in your pantry, and you can find out exactly how you've been eating. Interestingly, Nouvelle and Fujicate score differently on average. We scanned an orange juice with added calcium and vitamin D, and Nouvelle gave that about a 29, and that's, again, on a scale of 1 to 100. And Fujicate gave that a rating of B minus, and I would say that's quite different.
Yeah, let me ask you, Hemi. You're not a nutritionist. You're a dad who is concerned about what his kids are eating. Why should people rely on the data they get from Fujicate?
First of all, Fujicate is not Hemi. Fujicate is a company, and we've developed an algorithm. By using the best minds in the field, on our advisory board is Adam Jurnowski, Professor Adam Jurnowski, who pretty much invented the science of nutrition profiling. Nouvelle, Guiding Stars, and a few other programs are all based basically on his academic works. We've developed these algorithms with Adam Jurnowski and a group of dietitians. Although I would like to say that I know more today than I did a few years ago about nutrition, it's really not something that I was in charge of. I just put together the package in a way that I think is very convenient for consumers like me to read and understand. And the way our app works, at least from the feedback we've gotten from our users, is it actually explains why a product got the D or the C minus.
Right.
And it also offers healthier alternatives. So it's a very, very effective and useful tool.
And in fact, if our listeners want, they can go to our website, kcur.org, and find the up-to-date page. You can see some screenshots of some sample products and what it looks like when you scan the UPC code and find out more about that product. We'd also like to invite our listeners to join the conversation. If you have used this app, or if you've been to the Fujicate blog, or if you just have other questions about these numbers and letter grades that we're assigning to food and what difference it makes, call us at 816-235-2888, 235-2888, or email us at uptodate@kcur.org. Hemi Weingarten, how does Fujicate make money? I mean, what's the business model here?
So that's a great question. As you probably know, our app is free, and we've really been focusing so far on just growing our user base and providing value. But once you get to a certain size, all sorts of opportunities pop up. We've been approached by both retailers and brands that have healthy products about advertising opportunities or co-branding opportunities. We're also going to expand into paid versions of the app that provide additional value to people with specific dietary needs. You can Think, for example, of people that have gluten intolerance that may have a certain need to use the app differently than a standard user, or someone with heart disease, or someone with hypertension that needs a low-sodium diet. These are just a few examples of how we can make money off of it. But as I said, our focus right now is really growing our user base.
I'm curious about what Jessica mentioned a moment ago, that that even though the algorithms for your system and some of the others that are out there are based on similar research, they're coming up with different ratings, that a 29 out of 100 on one system is coming up with a B plus or a B minus in another system. What do you make of that? And if you were a consumer and you're looking at these conflicting ratings, what are you supposed to do?
First of all, I think science, as in any other field, although we like to think that science is pure and there's only one answer, even if you put together a group of dietitians, they won't necessarily concur on what's healthy and what's not. Take any subject matter and ask a group of scientists about it, and they will disagree. They interpret data differently. They focus on different aspects. They have different theories. And I think the same is with the varying algorithms. But I think if you take a large set of products and you compare the scores, I think the trends will be similar. Products that are highly processed will score lower. Products that are high in sugar or refined carbohydrates will score lower. Products that are high in saturated fat will score lower. I think Fujicate specifically is a little more conservative with respect to some types of preservatives and additives. For example, the red number 40 is considered safe by the FDA. I know that some other rating systems therefore do not penalize a product that is artificially colored. Fujicate does penalize, mostly because we're not relying just on U.S. Data, but also looking at what's happening in Europe. And we always like to be extra careful. Maybe that's the father in me. I don't want to discover 20 years from now that the controversy around red number 40, which was leaning towards safe in 2012, change to unsafe in 2025, and now, oops, for 15 or 20 years, my kids have been consuming this chemical.
Yeah,
so we're playing it safe.
And Jessica, what Hemi's saying seems to suggest sort of one of the problems, or maybe it's not a problem, it's just a reality about these systems, is that the score is going to depend on what someone somewhere thinks is most important. Does that seem like a limitation created by these scoring systems, Jessica?
I wouldn't say it's a limitation. I would say that, you know, this app signals sort of a real change in how to get information out to shoppers, to consumers. I think it compiles the majority of food product information in one handy location. Same with Nouvelle for the most part. You know, no need to perform an extensive online search before you go shopping. You don't need to bring your laptop with you. It's much more convenient because of the interactivity, too. I mean, you're less likely to just grab a bag of chips if you have to scan it first, right? Mm. You're probably less likely to think about that if you're just looking at a number score. In fact, Mike Nugent from Nouvelle, before he left us, said that, you know, some people use the Nouvelle score to shop quickly through the store when they don't have any time, you know, without thinking about very much about what the food is and just looking at the score. And I just kind of want to bring up, you know, this statistic that we hear a lot about. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports in 2010 over 25% of adults in Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska, and Kansas in our area were obese. And for children, that gets even worse. Since 1980, obesity has almost tripled. And I think shopping and eating without thinking and just grabbing stuff and putting it in your cart because a score tells you it's okay is perhaps how we got into this health dilemma in the first place, not really thinking before you're eating. I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm not advocating one rating system or another or against any of them. But I will say that when you're looking for ease of use, you know, Fujicate does not let you look and grab hastily. You really have to focus on what's going on with the nutrition of the food you're considering.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. That was Jessica Njunas, a reporter with Harvest Public Media. We're also talking with Hemi Weingarten, who's the founder and CEO of Fujicate, the website and blog and smartphone app that provides a nutritional ranking for foods when you scan them. Let's talk to Steve in Overland Park, who is online with a question. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, everybody, and great show. About 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and as a result of that, learned a little bit about the glycemic index, which I have used to this day to keep the diabetes under control, lost weight, all that good stuff. I think I heard the earlier guest say in a situation like that, do what you know and do what you know has worked for you, and then within those decisions, use his program. I'm wondering if Hemi sees his tool to be used in the same way, or just how something like glycemic index, which has proven to me that it's good for me, should be factored in.
Good question, Steve. Hemi, how does yours work with folks who have special concerns of the nature that Steve does?
It's a great question, and as I mentioned before, we think that there's a huge opportunity to help people with special needs, and diabetes is definitely high on our list. There's a whole different set of considerations that someone with diabetes has when they go shopping compared to a consumer that doesn't have this disease. Specifically regarding glycemic index, it's a tricky one because glycemic index is measured empirically per product. It's very hard to create a formula that's based on the nutrition facts and ingredient list and say this is what the glycemic index is going to be for a product. So all I can say is that we're pondering these issues as we speak, and hopefully within a few months we'll have some sort of solution. I don't know if it'll specifically be the best and optimal solution for someone like Steve, but we think that it'll provide more value than just a generic recommendation that we're offering today.
Let me ask one more question. This is from one of our listeners named Marty. He wonders, do any of these systems tell us if the food contains genetically modified ingredients? Jessica, do you know the answer to that?
I don't.
Hemi, is that something that...
Yeah, we get that request a lot. And our answer to our users is that, unfortunately, the FDA does not mandate labeling of a product or the ingredients if they're genetically modified or not, unlike Europe. In Europe, that is mandated, and that's the reason Europe so far, for the most part, does not have genetically modified organisms because the consumers were adamant about labeling, and as a result, manufacturers were afraid to put those products in. So what we tell consumers is if there is soy or corn in your product, most likely it's genetically modified unless it's an organic product. Organic practices do not allow genetic modification, or it's been branded as part of the non-GMO project, which is a not-for-profit organization that works with companies that do source non-genetically modified corn or soy, not necessarily organic, but definitely not non-GMO. Unfortunately, it's a very small percentage of the products in our database or in general in any store. And that's why we tell people if it doesn't say anything, it probably does contain GMO ingredients.
That's Hemi Weingarten. He's the founder and CEO of Fujicate. Hemi, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Jessica Njunas, we've been talking a lot about technology, and in fact, I want to invite our listeners, if you use another smartphone app that helps you make better eating choices, call us and tell us about it, 816-235-2888, or if you're techie enough, maybe you'd rather tweet us, at KCURUpToDate. You can also make a comment on our Facebook page. We'd like to hear which app you're using or what other programs or where else you're getting your information. Maybe it's surprisingly low-tech. Give us a call or send us an email at updatedate@kcur.org to tell us about it. Jessica, I'm curious how these numerical and letter scores we've been talking about through these systems intersect with some of the ways that products have been trying for a long time to demonstrate nutritional value. I'm thinking of slapping words like natural or organic or heart healthy on their packages. I mean, does this is this sort of just a new version of that, or is this something that you think is really different?
You know, I would doubt that Nouvelle, the rating system, is rigged to outrank fresh foods in favor of, you know, a packaged food that might contain those labeling claims, like fresh or handmade or artisan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the founder, David L. Katz, is very committed to really helping to change American eating habits. So I would say, I would venture to say no, that these are sort of unrelated. However, you know, for a shopper who has been conditioned to kind of wonder if, you know, what's being sold to them is really real and the claims are trustworthy, I would say that for the shopper, it might seem that way.
I guess one of the things that comes to mind, and it could be asked about any sort of technologically related subject, is are we doing consumers a disservice by sort of taking the work out of finding out what's healthy? And by that I mean, you know, there was a time when you had to educate yourself to make sense of those nutrition facts panels. You had to learn why you needed these vitamins more than others, and why cholesterol was bad for your diet, and then you'd know to look for the cholesterol. Is giving everyone a number, which of course is designed to make them healthier, hurting them in the long run?
You know, I think anytime you make a decision based on something you see in the store, you're setting yourself up for some sort of misinformation. I think that, you know, you have to go and do the work yourself. And once you're sure that the food you're choosing is healthy for you and your family, I think that's when you're really doing the best for you and for yourself in the long run. You know, there were surprises in the chip aisle. And I think, you know,
in the chip aisle.
Right. And there were surprises in the cereal aisle for people. Because I think, you know, we're conditioned to believe that, you know, whole grains are good no matter what. But if you put a bunch of sugar in your cereal, it's not going to be very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you're, you know, for the most part, if you're going to shop in the middle of the store, you can't claim to be surprised that these foods are just no good in large quantities. You know, more than a few shoppers that I talked with quoted food writer Michael Pollan's mantra, you know, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And I think that goes to say, if you're really thinking about what you eat and not just checking the back of a food product or looking at the score, focusing on stuff that maybe comes from the ground and not so much from the lab, you won't really need the score or even an app, however great those products are, to tell you how to lead a vibrant and healthful life. You know, these tools certainly help lead you in the right direction if you're completely clueless or looking for more information. So I think, you know, like Nouvelle says, Annette Maggi from Nouvelle said, you know, we are not a religion. We're just a tool. We're an aid. Don't rely on us completely.
Mm-hmm.
I think a combination of tools in the store is really what shoppers need. And I think, you know, the FDA found that people weren't really checking the nutrition facts. And that's probably why things like Nouvelle and Guiding Stars and Fujicade, you know, were able to kind of enter the marketplace because people weren't paying attention to those things.
I guess I wonder about the impact of these rating systems on the retailers and on the kinds of products that might be marketed. So Hillary made a comment on our Facebook page. She said one of the long-term benefits of these systems, if they become widely used, is the potential for competition between companies attempting to rank lower on the scale, thereby decreasing the added ingredients like sugar or sodium in marinara sauce in order to achieve a lower score. I mean, are we going to see a change in the products that are offered in the long run as a result of these scoring systems?
You know, there has been a little bit of controversy. The Smart Choices program was a rating system that was developed by, you know, people in the food industry, by companies. And they used like about 20 different attributes, and each one had, you know, a different, you know, acceptance rating. And I think it was maybe 3 years ago, cereal products like Lucky Charms and Frosted Flakes were given Smart Choices ratings. And there was a lot of backlash from that Smart Choices program. And the company that makes those food products, General Mills, announced that it would start to reduce the sugar and other harmful ingredients in their cereal. So, you know, I think that there is a lot of room for misinformation, and especially when the food industry starts to influence the rating programs. Nouvelle, you know, is kind of doing it the right way. They're not taking any sort of money from the food industry, so they're less likely to be influenced by, you know, General Mills or Lucky Charms that adds way too much sugar to their food. So I think, you know, you walk... You kind of have to walk that line a little bit and make sure who is influencing you is trustworthy.
Right. Fujikate's founder just said here on our air that that they've been approached, at least, by those who'd like to advertise with them, for example, food companies.
Right.
Let's talk to Cynthia in Kansas City, Missouri. Cynthia, I understand you use an app that that helps you in this area.
It's called MyFitnessPal.com.
Mm-hmm. And what is it? How does it work? Quickly.
Well, and I can track what I eat. I put in the amount of calories that I want for the day, and that's something that I've talked about with my doctor and my trainer. And then it has also the app where you can scan the barcode of something you eat, and you can put in, and it'll put in one serving, and then you can change it to how many, so I can track what I eat.
And it tells you how many of your calories for the day you've used up, and when you're done, you're done.
Right, but it also tracks sodium and carbohydrates and a couple of other things on there. You can also put a recipe in there, and it'll calculate what the food content.
Wow, so it's MyFitnessPal.com.
Right, and then you can have friends on there, because you can also put have friends on there so that says, you know, so-and-so hasn't logged in a week. They might need some encouragement.
Ah, okay, peer pressure, which is a good old-fashioned way of staying healthy, right?
And there's also a place there where you can put in your exercise, your cardio, as well as your strength training. But it's really good about tracking what you eat.
All right.
And then once you hit at the end of the day that you've logged it all in, it'll say, you know, in 5 weeks you'll be at this weight.
Great.
What you want to do.
Cynthia, thank you so much for taking the time to share that with us. And that's going to be our final word for us today. We've been joined this hour by Jessica Najunas, a reporter for Harvest Public Media. She is the host of their weekly podcast, Field Notes. Jessica, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find Jessica's podcast about Nuval, as well as information about all our guests and our previous broadcasts and podcasts at kcur.org. You can also continue today's conversation on KCUR's Facebook page, and don't forget to follow the program on Twitter. We're at KCUR up to date. Tomorrow, a former health insurance company executive argues that health insurers make promises they have no intention of keeping, so join Steve Kraske for that. A special thanks today to Donna Vestal of Harvest Public Media for her help on today's show. We also had help from KCUR's Kim Noble and Maria Carter. Our show is produced by Steven Steigman. Sitting in for Steve Kraske, I'm Brian Ellison, and you are up to date.